Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I have a motto.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I eat and drink no for breakfast.
So every day I eat nails for breakfast.
Would in fact have a big breakfast.
This is getting way more like Breakfast Club now.
There's breakfast.
I eat success for breakfast with skim milk.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If you are in a circumstance that you're not able to provide, well, let me cut to the chase. I'm taking too long.
Could we cut to the chase?
Cut to the chase?
Yeah.
Well, what are you, Joe Hollywood?
A lot of people say it.
I would lose that.
What's that?
Lose that? That's not a Hollywood expression.
Yes, it is.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I want to talk about, we'll salt this hour with some more Biden cuts. We've got endless numbers of them from last night. But I want to go on to talk about some other events, in mostly involving the Biden administration and its miss, mal, and nonfeasance. This is the worst administration in American history, and that's really something. It usually takes presidents, unsuccessful presidents, a few years to get this to this level of chaos and just ruining the country. This guy has moved very fast. His handlers have moved very fast. We all know he's not capable of anything. I like this column. I'm just going to start off with this this hour. It's by a guy named Chris Talgo in The Hill. Why does Biden's vaccine mandate not apply to welfare recipients? This is a recurring question, and I think it's a good one. Biden's federal vaccine mandate does not apply to Americans on welfare or illegal aliens in the country, members of Congress, U.S. Postal Service employees, and several other groups. Put another way, Biden is mandating that the Americans who supply most of the tax revenue to pay for America's welfare system be vaccinated or lose employment, but beneficiaries of the welfare state are exempt. This is even more flummoxing given the data that shows Medicaid recipients are among the least vaccinated. Medicaid is health care for the indigent, or the allegedly indigent. Like in Massachusetts, it's called MassHealth, but it's Medicaid. In Georgia, for example, only 10% of Medicaid recipients are fully vaccinated, compared with 33% of the Peachtree's general population. That was as of May 31st. Similarly, in Idaho, only 20% of Medicaid recipients were fully vaccinated, compared to 44% of the state's general population. Illegal aliens are also exempt from the vaccine mandate. According to a spokesman for ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the Department of Homeland Security continues its vaccination efforts to include voluntary vaccinations for individuals in the care and custody of ICE. Voluntary. It's not voluntary for you if you want to keep your job and you work for most public agencies. It's not voluntary.
Your papers, please.
It's not voluntary if you work for a federal contractor. But it is voluntary for illegal aliens, 98% of whom are on welfare. They're voluntary. Voluntary vaccination also implies to Postal Service workers. Postal Service. Not to SEALs, Navy SEALs. Not to anybody in the military. It's not voluntary. But it is for the guy who delivers your mail. Finally, Biden's vaccine mandate does not apply to Congress, even though there are 535 members, which puts Congress well above the 100-employee threshold. Biden's vaccine mandate is narrowly targeted to the one towards the 100 to the 80 to 100 million American citizens who get up and go to work every day, but ignores the 60 million Americans on welfare, the hundreds of thousands of indigents who cross our southern border every day, the 640,000 postal service workers in Congress, among others. Biden's vaccine mandate is not about getting the vulnerable vaccinated. It is about the Biden administration unfairly and unnecessarily forcing hardworking Americans to choose between their bodily autonomy and their livelihood. He doesn't answer the question, but he lays it out pretty well. 844-500-4242. You know, we've told you about the multiple sex crimes that are being committed by these unvetted Afghan refugees. These are not people who work with our military and the other allies. These are people who just hopped on the plane and came over here because they knew they were going to get three hots and a cot, and they'd just be allowed to rape and pillage to their heart's desire in many cases. A female soldier at Fort Bliss in New Mexico reported being assaulted on September 19th by a group of male Afghans. That's being investigated by the FBI. Good luck with that. A 20-year-old Afghan refugee was charged with attempting to engage in a sexual act with a minor using force against that person at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. Balruha Nori. Another evacuee at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, 32-year-old Mohammed Haroon Ahmad, was charged with assaulting his wife by choking and suffocating her on September 17th. So now, after the rapes and assaults in New Mexico and Wisconsin, now we have another one in Montana. An Afghan evacuee has been charged with the rape of a woman in Missoula, Montana, the state's governor said yesterday, and he called on the Biden administration to halt all refugee resettlements until assurances are made about the vetting process. Zabihullah Mumand, 19, was arrested after they received a 911 call from the female victim at a local motel. About this guy allegedly raping an American citizen. The victim was seen in the lobby, visibly upset, and called 911. Authorities in Missoula, Montana, found the victim's bra and socks in the Afghan's room. This is what the governor said, Governor Gianforte from Montana. I'm calling on President Biden to immediately halt resettlements to Montana until federal agencies provide me with adequate assurances that these Afghans coming to Montana are fully vetted in accordance with federal law. Representative Matt Rosendale, he's a Republican congressman from Montana. These unvetted Afghans do not share our culture and our values, as this horrific incident shows. They represent a serious risk to our communities. He urged a halt to the resettlement of Afghan nationals who have not been vetted. In other words, and that's the vast majority of them, and called on Biden to begin to remove Afghan refugees that have been resettled. It's not going to happen. Who's going to take them? You think the Taliban's going to take them? The Taliban thinks this is funny, what's happening here. They knew what was going to happen. By the way, we've told you in the past that the eastern counties in Oregon are trying to secede from Oregon. They want to get away from Portland and all the chaos and the wokeness, et cetera, et cetera. They want to become part of Idaho. Well, now leaders in the three western Maryland counties are exploring joining West Virginia. They want to secede from Maryland and the insanity in Baltimore and become part of West Virginia. Almost heaven, West Virginia. 844-500-4242. Here's one for Mr. Garcia. In New Jersey, Democrat Phil Murphy, the crazed Democrat, originally from Needham, Massachusetts. He's the governor. He's guided the state into a ditch over coronavirus and higher taxes, et cetera, et cetera. His lead is down to 6 points in the governor's race. He had a 15-point lead in June. It's down to 6 points over Jack Ciattarelli. Meanwhile, in New Hampshire, Republican Governor Sununu leads Democrat Maggie Hassan. She's the incumbent senator in a projected 2022 matchup. According to the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, 45% of likely voters would choose Sununu and 42% would vote for Hassan. So these are just a few of the stories that are making the news today. 844-500-4242. Eric, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Eric.
Thanks for taking my call, Howie. There's just one thing that really pisses me off right now. I got two friends that got COVID. They got vaccines, and they got COVID, and they almost died. I didn't get the vaccine. I got COVID. I have four comorbidities. I didn't almost die. Now, their passports should be turned in because their vaccine failed them. They have a weak, ineffective vaccine. If they get to keep it, it's only because they have natural immunity, which I have. So why don't I get a passport now? You know what I mean? Like, they should turn their passports in.
Eric, the answer is simple, and you know it. They complied. You did not comply. Therefore, they will be rewarded. You will be punished. Thus saith the deep state.
It's a good effort badge is what it is. It's a gold star. You get to participate now.
Right.
Wow, you're right.
It's a participation trophy. Right? Thanks for the call, Eric. Dr. Luke, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dr. Luke.
How you doing, Howie?
Good.
Hey, you know, all these people, all these groups there that are exempt, you know, the welfare recipients, 60 million people. I mean, I should say Obama's cabinet, because that's who these people are. They really don't care if we're vaccinated. It's like they're punishing us.
Right. That's the way it seems, doesn't it? And they're not going after their constituents, which is the people on welfare.
Correct.
And the postal workers who handle those wonderful mail-in ballots that served us so well last year.
Fraud.
Thanks for the call, Dr. Luke. Protecting your family is essential, but defending yourself doesn't have to be lethal. It's time for safer self-defense with Taser, because Taser protects life on both sides of the trigger. Non-lethal and easier to use than a gun, Taser's smart self-protection devices can stop threats before, during, and after you pull the trigger. Take the Taser Pulse Plus. From 15 feet away, it can lock up an attacker's muscles for up to 30 seconds. 30 seconds, that's half a minute. So you can escape safely. And when paired with your phone, the Taser Pulse Plus alerts emergency dispatchers with your GPS location as soon as you fire. And if you ever have to fire yours, Taser will replace the device for free. Get the same Taser technology trusted by police officers across the country since 1993, giving you the confidence to pull the trigger. Get Taser Pulse Plus today and save 15% at Taser.com and enter promo code Howie. Spelled T-A-S-E-R, T-A-S-E-R.com, promo code Howie. Taser.com, promo code Howie. Supplies are limited. Restrictions apply. See site for details. I'm Howie Carr.
Born in Maine, made in Massachusetts, and now a resident of the Sunshine State, Howie Carr, the original carpetbagger.
Can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music and not make any wrong moves.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden be president a year from today?
I think he will, just because Kamala Harris is so terrible. Not that he's going to be any better. He'll be worse. I mean, he's worse than he was a year ago during the campaign. He's going to just keep getting worse. You don't come back from this. It's not like recovering from a broken leg, you know? But I think he'll still be president, yes.
61% say he won't be president.
All right. Okay, 844-500-4242. We played some cuts yesterday from Garland Merrick. He was being questioned by a House committee, the House Judiciary Committee. And he's got a lot of skeletons in his closet, as you know. His son-in-law is making tens of millions of dollars from peddling this poison called critical race theory. So, you know, he's getting rich as they try to destroy America. And of course, Garland Merrick has nothing to say about this. Garland Merrick, Merrick Garland. He also has nothing to say about the border. He issues no memos about stopping the pandemic of crime on the southern border. But he is concerned about so-called domestic terrorists going to school board meetings. And Jim Jordan was after him saying, how did you come up with this information about the so-called epidemic of domestic terrorism at these school board meetings, mainly people complaining about their elected officials, which I would say is an American tradition going all the way back. So this is Jim Jordan asking him about his source of information. It was from a left-wing group of school board members who far left. They had Angela Davis, the communist who was on the run in Cuba for many years. They had her as a speaker at their annual convention a year or so ago. Cut for Jim Jordan.
First sentence of your memo, the very first sentence, you said, in recent months, there's been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, threats of violence.
Yes.
When did you first review the data showing this so-called disturbing uptick?
So I read the letter, and we have been seeing over time threats.
Whoa. I didn't ask you. So you read the letter. That's your source?
So let me be clear. This is not a prosecution or an
investigation. Is there some study, some effort, some investigation someone did that said there's been a disturbing uptick, or you just take the words of the National School Board Association?
Well, the National School Board Association, which represents thousands of school boards and school board members, says that there are these kind of threats. When we read in the newspapers reports of threats of violence, when that is in the context of threats of violence,
the source for this, for the very first line in your memo,
time of the gentleman has expired.
Was the school board association letter
expired, Mr. Deutsch?
He's the congressman from this district. I think where I'm in now. He's a he has the district next to us, Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz. So this is Andy Biggs, the guy we had on yesterday. He was, I wish you'd have mentioned this to us. He really went after Garland about this, about going after the school boards and tax-paying American citizens, but not the influx of rapists, drive-by shooters, fentanyl dealers, MS-13 gangbangers, and just general welfare layabouts crossing the border every day. Cut 7.
Have you sent a letter or issued a memorandum to U.S. attorneys directing prosecution of these cases?
No, and the reference of cases comes from the Department of Homeland Security, as I mentioned before.
Look, you managed to issue a memorandum about parents showing up at school boards. Why can't you issue a memorandum regarding the million-plus people who illegally enter the country and encouraging your U.S. attorneys to prosecute those cases? They are there constantly.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Biggs. Lauren, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lauren.
Hi, Howie. It's Lauren Birmingham. I just stepped out of my office talking about illegal aliens and illegal acts. There are two gypsies on the corner of Clarendon set up with a cash box and tarot cards, and they're hustling everyone. So I called the Boston City Hall. No one could help me. They told me to call the Boston police, and the woman hung up in my face. Can you believe that, Howie?
But yet inspectional services would come down if some American citizen opened an office on Clarendon Street or Boylston Street in the Back Bay, right? But they're going to be allowed to. I mean, this is how you end up with Mass and Cass. You know, you let people start operating in violation of the law, selling something, not getting permits and all that. And pretty soon you have a tent city in the Back Bay, just like you have it down on the South End Roxbury line, right?
Howie, it's horrible. There are tents under the Kenmore Square Bridge. But today, my heart is beating as a longtime tax-paying, law-abiding citizen.
I don't blame you, Lauren. I don't blame you. And who do you vote for in the mayor's race? They're both terrible. 84. Thanks for the call, Lauren. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Then there was Representative Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, and he was asking Garland, he doesn't mention the son-in-law's name, but he's talking about ethics concerns and conflicts of interest. And again, Garland's son-in-law is the president of this company that has made $27 million over the last few years peddling critical race theory, poison, toxic racist materials to schools around the country. And now people are complaining about it at school board meetings, and Garland Merrick is mobilizing the Democrats' Gestapo, the FBI, to crack down on people's First Amendment rights. And Mike Johnson is asking him about it. And, of course, guess what happens? The Penguin, Jerry Nadler, takes time out from stuffing a hot dog down his gullet to shut him down, just like he tried to shut down Jim Jordan when Jim Jordan was asking about the same the school board directive to unleash the Gestapo on American taxpayers and concerned parents. This is Mike Johnson from Louisiana, Congressman, cut six.
Your impartiality is being called into question. Why would you not submit to a simple ethics review of that?
I am exquisitely aware of the ethics requirements.
But you're not following them.
I have followed them and lived with them for the last 25 years.
Did you seek an ethics review of this or not?
I'm going to say again, there are no conflicts of interest involved when the Justice Department...
Okay. According to you, I got that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you are not respecting our rules, our constitutional norms, and the federal law that directly applies to your activities. This is a great concern. This is why people are losing faith in our institutions. They're losing faith in this Department of Justice. And you and I both know, as constitutional attorneys, that if the people lose their faith in our system of justice, if they lose their faith in the idea that justice is blind, that they're not two standards, that there's one standard of the law, and that everybody...
Time of the gentleman has expired. Would the Attorney General like to respond to the innuendo?
No, all I can say is
innuendo.
I agree that the rule of law and respect for it is essential. And I will always do everything possible to uphold that and to avoid any kind of conflict of interest.
But you will not submit to an ethics
inquiry. Time of the gentleman has expired.
Well, I would just
time of the gentleman has
it wasn't
expired.
Innuendo, it was a question.
Thank you.
It was a question.
Thank question you. Is
the editorial
the
comments from the chair about other people's questions is not appreciated by this
general.
Side of the aisle.
The time of the gentleman has expired. Can someone pass the mustard, please? And I ordered a chili dog, not a regular dog. And where's the cheese on it? Ugh, 8-4. He's exquisitely aware. He's not just aware. He's exquisitely aware of the ethics rules of the Department of Justice. And the only thing I disagree with Representative Johnson, he says people will lose respect in the Justice Department. I lost respect for the Justice Department a long, long time ago. And I think most people did. 844-500-4242. So now we keep going with this school board, these questions about the school board. This is Representative Steve Chabot. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Ohio, Chabot, talking about this memo from promoted by the far left school board association meeting. And now there are stories that the White House also colluded with this to bring down the hammer of the Democrat police state known as the Federal Bureau of Investigation on people exercising their First Amendment rights. Cut two. Representative Steve
And I
Chabot.
Remember clearly that we were both concerned about potential abuse of this new law enforcement tool. But I can tell you, not in a million years did we dream that one day we'd see the Justice Department treat American parents as domestic terrorists.
oh, this guy, now I know what this is, the context of this. This guy has been around for a long time. And like former congressman from Wisconsin, Sensenbrenner, who was actually drew up the Patriot Act legislation when it was going before Congress after the Muslim terror attack in 2001. And he's just saying, again, as Sensenbrenner did in his op-ed in the Wall Street Journal last week, nobody ever assumed that it would be used against American citizens exercising their First Amendment rights. But you know what? Shame on all of us, because that's what all governments do, ultimately. You know, the Founding Fathers aren't walking through that door, you know? All we've got is people like Dementia Joe and Cacklin Kamala and Merrick Garland. And it's a long way from James Madison and Alexander Hamilton. 844-500-4242. Joel, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, hey, Howie. Real quick, buddy. Does anybody think it's strange that the Postal Service is the only ones exempt from the mandate for vaccines?
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You think maybe he's going to need some help in 2020, next year?
Well, I mean, that's my cynical reaction. You know, I got a guy here who's a retired postal inspector here. I'm just looking for what he said. He said that over half the postal workers won't get vaccinated. So if they ever shut down started firing these people, they couldn't get any mail delivered. But is mail delivery, Joel, honestly, as big of a deal necessary for the U.S. economy to run as it used to be? I mean, most people send only a fraction of the first-class letters that they used to send, right? Most correspondence is done by email or by text, is it not? Oh, he's gone. Yeah, I found the thing. This is from 207. I'm a retired postal employee, and the reason the post office is exempt is probably because the three unions that represent most employees told the White House that probably half of all postal people will not receive the shot. This will cost the unions millions of dollars with grievances submitted by employees and will slow the mail down to almost no delivery. But again, how much of a hindrance would that be to the U.S. economy? I mean, 99% of the mail I get is junk mail now. Catalogs I don't want. I bring it upstairs and I just look through it and I throw it away. And I think that's what it is for most people. You know, I'm not down on the U.S. Postal Service. They do a decent enough job. It's a lot slower than it used to be pre-COVID.
A lot slower. Again, I don't want to get heat from any of the Postal Service workers, but my gosh, Howie, send out a few invites, most of them around your own town. It's amazing how some people get them the next day, some people get them weeks later. I don't know what's happening at that place.
I know. I send some clippings and things to my brother every week in North Carolina. And some weeks from Boston this summer, it took 3 weeks to get to North Carolina. I mean, that seems inexcusable to me. But again, I mean, I don't think you had to do this, Grace. But Grace, other than your wedding invitations, how often do you use the first class mail?
Not often. And after this, I don't think I ever will again. I mean, and I know, my grandfather was a postal worker, so I'm really, I know that a lot of them are trying their best, and it's probably just like everything else, just a messy system. But some of my invitations, I would have been better off Howie driving around and hand delivering them.
Yeah.
Like in Massachusetts, they would have got there a lot faster.
We got your invitation down there in Florida.
Yes. Right. And yours wasn't bad because I just accidentally sent it here forgetting you were going to be in Florida. But some of them that are far away, like, whew.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happens. They just go missing. But you know what someone told my my mom? She asked someone at the postal office, and they said a lot of times they get stuck in the junk mail. Like real mail gets stuck in the flyers and just gets set aside in like a bin or something.
No, I look through all those flyers and those catalogs because a couple of times I've gotten checks and I almost threw them out because I thought that I didn't realize what they were. And, you know, I hate that when I get those big royalty checks from Paramount Pictures, Grace, you know, I don't want to lose that $1.72 because I know I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get another check like that for another 6 months, right? But I understand that. But there's no reason for postal. If they're going to fire cops for not getting the shot, why are they not firing postal workers? I mean, none of this, I'll say it for the millionth time, makes any sense.
Hey, Howie, here's a thought. Who's in charge of delivering all of those ballots that we have to mail in?
I know. I know. That's one of the earlier callers said that, Grace.
Yeah.
That's
a thought.
Yeah, that's the conspiracy theory. 844-500-4242. Grace, where is my invite, says somebody. It's that's from 617. Someone wants to know where her invite is or his invite is. All right, 844-500-4242. I object to Grace's wedding, says 603. I love her. Well, you can still love her. Let's see. Just like Amtrak, says Officer Mark, who would even notice if the post office slowed down service? Well, I think I would notice it. I would notice it. I don't want to dump on the Postal Service that much. I just wonder why they're exempt from the same rules as everybody else on the in the public sector. And don't tell me that's private and all that, because it's quasi-public, right? 844-500-4242. Ed, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, Howie. Long time no talk to you. I've talked to you before. The post office, I worked part-time post office doing the Christmas card stuff a couple of years, and they do have, like, the automation machines. You ever seen them?
No, I don't think. Maybe I've seen them on TV. I don't think I've ever seen them in person.
Yeah, yeah. What they do is they stack all the mail in a row on a shelf, and it sucks it right in, and it drops in the buckets with the zip codes. It's pretty interesting. So that's how they do the mail-in ballot things. But I have a funny story. I was over for a while. The lower end of town, Baden Road. No, but...
Yes. I know that area.
Yeah, my wife actually, that was military housing at one time, World War II.
Yeah.
And that's how my wife was actually born living down that way.
Not too much military in there now, as you well know. Go ahead.
It's all brand new. Hey. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I didn't know you. So my neighbor that lived down there, she did a lot of post office stuff, but she brought this package up there, had to go to Florida. So she says to the guy at the window, you know, how long is it going to take to get down there? He goes, he actually said 4 to 5 days. And she goes, 45 days? I could walk there by then.
Thanks for the call, Ed. 844-500-4242. To all the listeners who, like me, have an IRA or 401k, I have an urgent warning for you. Our federal debt is now more than $28 trillion. What the government is not telling you is that the Fed is running out of ways to fight this growing burden. Inflation and tax hikes are their only way out. You've seen the 40% increase in gasoline prices since January. Have you tried to buy lumber lately? Have you noticed the shrinking portions in some packaged products at the supermarket? It's all about inflation. In this 1970s-style environment, every month your dollar buys less. So, if you have $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, your money could be at risk. Learn how you can protect your life savings with physical gold and silver. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to get your free Precious Metals IRA guide and find out how you can get paid to protect your retirement. That's right, goldco.com/Howie Carr, and the IRA experts at Goldco will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. So, what are you waiting for? Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr. The experts at Goldco have helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect themselves against inflation and tax hikes. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr has ditched the big tech overlords and taken his show to Rumble. Watch the show live and uncensored at rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Howie Carr is back. I must say, the Republicans on that House Judiciary Committee, they didn't give many answers, but at least they asked some good questions. They threw out a lot of potential scandals. Well, they're not potential scandals. They are scandals. Like, for instance, Hunter Biden's art shakedown. That this fell to Representative Ken Buck from Colorado to ask the dodgy Attorney General about whether or not there's any investigation of this grift. This flim-flam, this scam, this con, whatever word you want to use, for what Hunter Biden is doing with the in the gallery of the ex-con from the state of California. Cut one. Ken Buck, Colorado. We'll have it here in just a moment.
Track record inquiring minds might question why any art gallery would want to sell Hunter Biden's art. Well, this particular art gallery had its COVID relief loan more than doubled by the Biden administration. In a survey of more than 100 art galleries in New York's 10th Congressional District, this particular art gallery received by far the largest SBA disaster loan. And as an aside, Mr. Attorney General, the member who represents the 10th Congressional District is none other than Chairman Nadler. Mr. Attorney General, who buys Hunter Biden's art? Who benefits? What benefits do they receive from the Biden administration?
Oh,
the American people want to know.
Al, they're not going to find out from Merrick Garland or from Mr. Chairman Jerry Nadler. And by the way, that story about the ex-con's art gallery where Hunter is showing his paintings, that story was not broken by the New York Times. That was broken by the New York Post, which was banned from Twitter for months after they broke the story about Hunter Biden's laptop. But everything's on the level. Just don't worry about it. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Jerry, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Howie. How are you? Well, welcome back to God's country.
Thank you. I'm so
Jerry
happy to be here.
I hope you are. Listen, I spoke to you a couple weeks ago. I watched this Garland thing, and I told you a couple weeks ago, my dad was a criminal defense lawyer on the federal level. He did the Patty Hearst trial with Lee Bailey, Al Jobson, and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
He was in front of the Senate committee on the premature demise of a very famous man from Massachusetts from a very famous family whose brother couldn't drive over bridges.
Yes.
Back in the late 70s.
Yes, I know.
He knew a lot of federal prosecuting. The FBI, he saw a lot of, in Politico, saw a lot of unorthodox things back then. And you know, I'm sure, from covering them. But what's going on now makes what happened back then a tiptoe through the tulips. It's unbelievable.
I agree. I mean, there was corruption. I mean, they framed people. The FBI framed people in Boston. And I've talked about it a million times, 35 years for guys who didn't kill somebody, and the FBI knew they didn't kill anybody and still allowed the state to frame them. But I mean, you know, as horrible and as indefensible as that is, it was only a handful of people. I mean, they're going after everybody now, Jerry. You know that. I mean, that's what makes it so much worse.
Back then, and I'm sure there were, you know, we didn't hear enough about them, but there were definitely rogues, and that's what I mean by unorthodox. But what's going on now is just atrocious.
Right. And you know what's sad? It's really sad that there are so few whistleblowers. Where were the whistleblowers during the Russian collusion hoax? There weren't any. I mean, you know, it appears that John Durham has flipped some of them, but I mean, that was by threatening to prosecute him or actually indicting them. That's the only way he got any witnesses. Where are the people with any ethics in the Federal Bureau of Investigation? I'm Howie Carr.